Y'all know what time it is.
Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody.
Hat on,
suit on,
looking like a dapper don,
giving them all
on,
dress
like a million bucks, things in its cuffs.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey?
Oh, yeah.
Listening to me, put your hands together for Steve Harvey.
Put your hands together.
I sure will. Good morning, everybody. You're listening to The Voice now. Come on, dig me. One and only Steve Harvey got a radio show. One more time, partner. Steve Harvey got a radio show. Man, how amazing is that? How good has God been to me? How good has he been to you? Just check yourself sometimes. Just sit up and just run a survey. Just look at your life where it's at. It might not be where you want it to be, but that's probably some decisions you made. But really, though, in spite of all the crazy mistakes I done made, I mean, man, I look back at some of the decisions I done came up with, and man, it's just amazing he let me live. I mean, it's to exist the way I exist, it that's nothing but grace, mercy, favor, all that is. That's what my mama praying for me when I wasn't praying for myself. That had to be it because, man, I can truly tell you, I have made enough mistakes, man, stuff you would never even know about and recovered from them all. You can too. And I don't care what you've done. Marvin Sapp has a song out that says, he saw the best in me. When everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. You know, that's an important song, man. Especially, you know, I want to talk to men today because, man, being a man is so, so difficult. Please know, it has been my quest ever since I was a little boy. My father had one ambition. Son, I don't care what you do. But when I get through raising you, you will be a man. That's all I want you to be. He never cared what I did for a living. It never made a difference to him. You're going to be a man. Manhood is difficult. Now, ladies that's listening to this, I'm not saying womanhood ain't. I don't know what it takes to be a woman. So, you know, but I do know exactly what it takes to be a man. So, you know, sometimes when you talk to people on the radio, you have to preface things because people are just go, he trying to make it look like womanhood ain't. No, that's not what I'm doing. I'm just talking to men today to explain to them that they ain't by themselves and struggling trying to figure this thing out, that you are not alone in your quest for manhood, that is difficult. Even it was interesting yesterday, the dating game guy, he said the reason, I didn't get to say this on the air, but I read his profile. He said one of the reasons he was still single because he was trying to find himself as a man. He was 42. I gotta tell you, man, manhood is that kind of difficult. And it becomes even more compounded if a young boy does not have a male role model, I've said it 1,000 times, I'll say it again. A young boy without a male role model is like an explorer without a map. Well, I have a suggestion for everybody that's struggling with manhood and all of the men out there that are men. This message is for all of us, and it's for me too. You know, I was listening to Joyce Myers the other day, and she made a statement. She said, sometimes you got to do the right thing even when it feels wrong. You know, one of the difficulties of manhood is peer pressure and the misguided principles of manhood. See, what God wants us to be as men and what we believe manhood is sometimes two different things. I'll give you an example. I wrote this book for women, right? And I was telling them the three ways that a man shows his love. And I call them three P's. We profess, we protect, and we provide. Every man who is a man, that's how he exhibits love. We're not talky-talky, comforting, we're not great nurturers. But when it comes down to it, what we all want to do, what is in our DNA, is to profess our love for something, you as a woman, to protect you as a woman, and to provide for you as a woman. That's in our DNA. Now, sometimes that gets messed up. And I'll give you an example. Sometimes when a boy doesn't have the proper real role model in his life, he takes that principle of love that we all possess in us, every man, the professing part, the protecting, and the providing part, and we misplay it. That's why gangs exist. Gangs exist off those three principles. What's the first thing a gang member do? He profess. He claim a hood. That's the first thing he do. This is my neighborhood. I'm Deuce Trey. I'm Triple H. I'm Doody Doop. I'm purple, I'm red, I'm blue. First thing they do is claim. That's professing. That's how we show our love. But it's misguided, though. Now we professing something that ain't even good for us. Your hood, your gang, your clique. Now guess what? Now we got to protect it. So now, as a protection part of our love, here we go. You come down here, we gonna do this to you. You go over there, they gonna do that to you. You protect your hood. This your turf. This all you got. You ain't nobody coming down here with blue on. Can't nobody come over here with red on. You can't come over here with purple on. You can't come over here with black and gold on. And we protect that because that's in our DNA. And then what's the third thing? We provide. So guess what the gang need? Money. Guess what we do? We selling drugs. We selling women. We selling guns. It go back to the same thing, man. I don't know how God gave it to me that way when I was writing the book, but he showed it to me along the way. That's how men love. Well, when you don't have a role model in your life, guess what? Now that love is misplaced, it's misguided, it's off track. Ain't no man told you that really you're supposed to take this love and give it to a woman. You really supposed to profess, protect, and provide for a woman, not your gang set. Now you professing your hood, repping a color, you protecting your territory, shooting people, driving by, coming over you on your street, and then you provide. Now you out here selling drugs and guns for the same thing. When a boy does not have a male role model, he has a misguided way of looking at manhood. The reason I'm saying this today is because, fellas, this is what I'm saying. Quit tripping yourself out, man, and find out the type of man God wants you to be. Here's the deal. See, God created all of us in his image. That means he's put some of our DNA in him. That's why it's in your DNA to profess, protect, and provide. Because guess what? That's what God do for us. Because we his children. God provides for us. He protects us. And he professes his love for us. He claims us. He died on the cross for us. He done all that for us. I'm just talking to men right now. You don't want to be in your house when the cop knocking on the door. You want to be laying there in peace. See, when my doorbell rang, I can go answer it. Because ain't no police coming over here because I ain't done nothing for them to come. You can't go to your door like that when you got weed in the back. You got crack in the back. You got cocaine in the back. You can't go answer your door. You hear that? You got to start flushing toilets and stuff, man. That's crazy. I'm just telling you, man, I had to wake up about 5 years ago. I wasn't doing what God wanted me to do. And then he shook me. He said, man, I'm going to bring about some changes in your life. I'm going to cause some things to happen that's going to put you in a position, and this time you're going to listen to me. Because if you don't, you're going to keep living in this pain you've been in. But you put yourself in this pain. I owe no blame to no one else but myself. Please know I know that. And that's how you really get to manhood, when you figure out what you done wrong. You can't blame this on none of your exes because you a man. You can't go, my ex did this. No, no. You a man, partner. You got to take responsibility for yours and yours alone. If you got kids, you got to get to them some kind of way. Write them a letter, send them the money. If she won't let you see it for the money, whatever. Send the money to her mama. Do what you're supposed to do as a man. Do what God wants you to do, man, because he not letting us off the hook for what we supposed to be just because you ain't doing it. And if you do it, you turn your life around. Just hollering at the fellas today, that's all. Sorry about that.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies, gentlemen, boys, and girls, this is the Steve Harvey Morning Show. This is Winter Olympic headquarters. Because I am watching Winter Olympics. So congratulations, the USA is on the board with some gold medals. Some medals. Right now, the medal count, I don't know exactly. I just watch it, you know, as a just a conservative watcher. I'm not a fanatic about it, but I do watch it. I love all the Olympics. I watched Lil Red win the first gold medal, 17 years old. This little boy won this gold medal. He don't even really know what the hell going on. This little dude, yeah, 17, did. Man. And he won this medal. He don't even really know what's really going on.
Snowboarder, right?
Yeah. But he wanted to go. They took, I believe, the ice skating team took a silver medal in the team. And that was good.
I thought the
American dude got ripped off. Good morning, y'all. I'm sorry. I'm just going on and on about my
morning.
Morning.
I'm sorry.
Good morning. I think we have 4 medals right now. 2 gold, 1 silver, 1 bronze.
How's our speed skater doing? Anybody know?
I don't know if that's Stone.
Mommy, what's her name?
I can't think of
that. Mommy.
Are you watching Mommy curling, Steve? Where they, the Bruins?
Yeah, it ain't really got underway good yet, but I watches that, though.
The broom with his
feet. I watches that. Just gonna let that hang in the air like that?
Excuse me?
That's exactly what he said.
I wasn't confused.
Nobody here was confused. He said he watches
that. I watches that.
Yeah. Has nothing to do with confusion.
Yeah, no. It was understood what he said. He watches it. Hello, I'm Julie Donaldson. Hey, Julie.
Well, the reason why they want to get specific with the medal count is because it could change.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, every day.
That's true.
Because they a day. What is it, a day ahead
of? Yeah, they're a day and a half or something ahead of us, and then we're a day behind.
We got a silver medal in the luge, and we've never medaled in luge before, ever.
Is that where you put the wood under your behind?
I love it.
What is that?
I think luge is that little sled, that little thing you lay back on feet first.
Feet first.
And you come barreling down that.
Fast.
About 80 miles.
Yeah, now they got another one where you on your stomach and you head first. I'm not doing that one.
I'm not doing either one of them.
Oh, yeah, I got to at least snap an ankle off first or something. Can't just tear my eye out.
Wow.
But I'm trying to get this skater's name that they ripped off, man. The little dude from America. Is it Adam Rippin? No.
Oh. The first openly gay couple at the Olympics. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I didn't know he was a couple. He's the dude
skating in a team.
Yeah, he skated his ass.
Yeah, he did.
And they gave this dude a tenth of a point better than him. That was horrible, man. That dude really beat that dude.
Oh, so he got snubbed, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, listen, coming up, something funny. Happy Mardi Gras, by the way. we're going to give you guys some questions about Mardi Gras. Things like that when we come back at 32 after.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, guys. Carla came up with these questions. She wants to ask you guys these questions.
The answer is yes.
Today is Mardi Gras. It's Fat Tuesday. You know, some wild stuff goes down during Mardi Gras.
Before you ask these questions, Shirley, I want to state, fellas, be very careful answering these questions. There's some people down there serious about this thing here.
You mean
And they're not going to take your little jokey jokes.
Oh, it's not like that. It's not what you think.
Can we just throw beads to the people that raised their
I'm just saying, these people down there, they serious about this Mardi Gras, man.
And down there being New Orleans, Mobile, Alabama.
Mobile is where they started Mardi Gras.
Why did you issue the warning, Stephen?
Because I've been on stage down there a long time ago. Cracking on Mardi Gras. Didn't go good. I didn't know black people was passionate about it like that.
Oh, but you know now.
Oh, man.
Okay. All right.
I just like pulling the shirt up. That's what I like. That's the part.
See.
Your own shirt?
Not
you
mine.
You like pulling your own shirt up.
No, I like throwing to the beads, to the ladies that pull a shirt up.
Okay.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. That's what I meant.
All right.
Really simple-minded person.
Okay, Carla, you go ahead and ask the guys. You wanted to ask the guys these questions.
Steve, Tommy, Junior, Jay. If you had a free pass once a year to wild out and do anything you wanted to do, what would you do?
What kind of question is this?
It's a question.
You're at Mardi
Gras.
I heard
Steve, did you whistle? What did you do? Did you sign?
I can do whatever I want.
Mardi Gras, we wild out.
You ain't got nobody holding you tonight.
But I'm going to have somebody.
Let's go on and hear this here.
Okay. I can answer.
No, you can answer.
So
I just want
to
hear
the question is to all.
We
want to
hear from
you. I get to do whatever I want, right?
Get a free pass.
Keep the white women coming.
Why did he go first?
Yes, keep them coming. Keep them coming.
I hate him.
And why is that, Jay?
I like white women. What? Really? How long I've been here? How did you figure this out?
So sad.
You hired him.
Junior, what about you?
Yeah. I can't even.
See, this is love. The single dudes is always interesting.
Come on,
Junior. Let's go, Junior.
Okay, well, first of all, if I'm going down to Mardi Gras and I can do
whatever I want.
I'm going to be sitting on a king cake with a chick. We going to already be in cake.
Now that's wildin'.
I'm wildin'. Y'all ain't gonna judge me?
That's wild. No. Ain't mad at
no judgment, Mardi Gras.
Not going right down canal.
Not to your face. Happy Mardi Gras. Yeah.
Come on, Tommy. Nephew.
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah, Shirley, you do the order.
And Halle. Then went to Mardi Gras.
Halle Bear.
We on Bourbon, swinging out that window of that strip club up top. That's what we doing. Back and forth.
What? You going to be with Halle Berry, and all you're going to do is get your ass in a swing? Yeah. I'm Team Tommy.
Come on. Loudspeaker is behind, Jay.
Make the phone move.
Be swinging.
We naked though, Jay. We naked though.
You didn't,
you didn't say that.
Yeah.
We naked all the way down to tomorrow.
Everything I do naked. I thought that come what I saying, but okay.
That's a given.
Tommy, there's a park over here. You can just go there.
That's how you get arrested.
Oh, you're trying to get arrested. Get some time.
All right, big dog.
Hurry up. Why you got to do
first, speak from your heart, though, now. Come on.
I'm going to need a mask.
Mask? Oh, Mardi Gras mask. Oh.
Facial head mask.
So no one will recognize them. Mm, okay.
Lips can't be out. Mustache can't be showing.
Anonymity.
And I'm going to need some gloves.
Because ain't no your hands.
I'm going to need some gloves.
Okay. What's that for?
And I'm going to need a lot of baby oil.
You always take that baby oil wherever you go.
Wow.
I'm gonna need about.
That blowing and huffing and puffing. Come on, come on. So far, we got masks, baby oil, and gloves. What's going down? What's happening?
Look like the Terminator right now. Huh?
Yeah. Oh, you be back.
Say it.
Why can't he say it?
He can't say it.
Yes. Are you dreaming it?
No, but right I just tell you right now, I'm gonna immediately have to ask for forgiveness.
Oh, like
I'm
that.
Gonna have to find a church and throw myself on the altar. I'm talking about chest up to heaven, just wide mouth hollering, "Forgive me, Lord," wailing. Then after that, I'm gonna have to take a trip to Mecca.
Oh my God.
And I'm gonna have to leave walk with the Muslims around that big place that they go to over there. I'm gonna have to walk with them. Then I'm gonna need some Jewish people to take me to the Wailing Wall.
Wow.
Oh, you going to all religions?
Yeah, I gotta go get clear. Cause what I'm finna do with this mask on?
Well, can you give us a hint?
Yeah.
We know nothing now.
What?
Oh, no. I get it.
Oh, yeah, no, that's
I
all
I
like.
Exactly. I know exactly.
Oh, that's all you can tell.
The men get it.
Who going to be on now? It would just be a damn shame.
All right.
Well, now we know. So.
Yeah, all right. Coming up.
Any more questions about Mardi Gras?
No, I think we got it all. coming up right after this, it's Nephew Tommy's prank phone call. We're going to run it back right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, Miss Ann will be here with today's national news, of course. But right now, it is time for the nephew to run that prank back. Neff, what you got?
Small favor, Shirley. Small favor. You know, every now and then you need a little small favor, that's all. Run that.
Hello?
Hello, I'm trying to reach Vicky.
This is Vicky.
Hey, Vicky, how you doing? Are you the niece of I think it's Ain't your aunt?
Yes.
Okay, and your aunt passed away. How many years ago your aunt passed?
It was about 5 years ago.
Okay, listen, I'm over here at the funeral home. My sister just passed away, and they gave me your phone number. Did you guys? We're going through a little bit of a situation here. Did you guys aunt have? You know, your aunt was a heavyset woman. Is that right?
Yes, she was.
Okay. Now they had to. Did they have to put her in a? Did they have a bill a special casket for her?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what we're kind of going through with my sister. We ordered a special casket for my sister. And I'm assuming this is the same thing that you guys went through. I've called several of her children, but I wasn't able to get in touch with anybody. But the funeral home actually had your name on file as well. So they gave me your number where I would be able to talk to you. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's okay. You can speak to me, but, you know, what seems to be the problem?
Well, listen, the funeral is actually in 2 days.
Okay.
And we ordered one of those special caskets. But it doesn't look like it's gonna be in for another week. So, you know, it's almost like we're not gonna have a casket for her, you know, for the funeral. And okay. You know, like I said, the funeral home told us about, you know, that you guys were the last ones that ordered a casket of that size. And you know, me and the rest of the family has been, you know, we've been trying to figure out what to do and what to do. Do you think it's any way possible we can borrow the casket that your aunt is in, and then when the casket comes in that we ordered, we can put her in that casket and put her back down to rest like she's always been? Do you think that's
what?
Possible?
Excuse me?
Hello?
Hello? Excuse me, could you repeat yourself? What exactly are you asking me?
Well, what I'm saying is, do you think we can borrow your aunt's casket? Because, you know, the funeral is in 2 days, and the casket is not going to be in order for us to be able to bury her in a casket for the, you know, to accommodate her size. That's what I'm asking.
What kind of is this you're talking about? First of all, who is this?
Okay, no, my name is Larry. Like I said, my name is Larry. I got you guys. Like I said, I tried to call some of her kids, but nobody ever picked up when I called.
Okay, well,
and, but
well,
they said
yeah,
that they had her niece's number on file, too. You are her niece, Vicky, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. Do you think that maybe you can talk to the children and see if we can maybe use that particular casket?
Okay, wait a minute. What the f*** are you talking about? This is some f***. First of all, who is this? You got to be losing your mind if you think I'm going to let you dig up my auntie for just to bury your sister.
Yeah, but
you know,
I understand where you're coming from, but what I'm trying to say is that we don't have a casket big enough, and they let us know that you guys were the last ones that had a casket that, you know.
What the f*** they got to do with us? That's your sister. Figure it out. Have you lost your
No. Well, okay, first of all, what I'm trying to do is this. The family been grieving pretty hard, and I just wanted to make sure that the funeral would be right. And it ain't going to be right if we don't have...
That be?
We don't,
how do you think my family going to feel digging my auntie up? You lost your... Man, don't call me with this... Who is the funeral home that gave you my number to ask me to use the casket so you can bury your sister? Who is the name of that person?
I can't remember, but it was the guy, the funeral director let me know that you guys had went through a situation where you had to bury your aunt. Like I said,
and
I tried to call.
And what's your name again?
My name is Larry.
Okay, Larry, this is a stupid. I don't know what gave you my phone number to call me asking you this dumb. Can you believe this? They call here asking me so can they dig up a so they can bury their sister. It's not fault that his sister don't have a casket. Hello?
No, I understand it's not your fault. What I'm trying to say is would y'all show some sympathy and some love for what me and my family going through, because we don't have a casket. Like I say, my sister was a heavy set woman.
That's all fine and good. You know, my condolences go out to you and your family. You know, I'm trying to be as reserved as I can with this whole situation. But do you understand what kind of stupid you're asking me right now to actually dig up my aunt who's been in the ground for 5 years to bury your sister?
But Vicky, let me ask you this, though. If we use it, your auntie ain't gonna know. She ain't gonna know we use
it. What kind of stupid is for you to say to me? My auntie and I, we don't know. Are you stupid? What kind of are you smoking? Are you smoking crack? We don't know. She not ground no more.
First of all, you know what? I appreciate you trying to work with me, but I want to say this. You don't even have the authority to make that decision. If you give me one of the numbers to one of your cousins,
because I was really trying to be nice and be calm. But guess what? We're not doing this stupid. I'm trying to be nice to you and try to help you out, but no, you want me to get ignorant and act stupid with you. I was trying to be nice and sympathetic, but we're not doing it. I'm not giving you the number. I got the authority to tell you right now, no, we're not digging her up so you can bury your sister. Figure it out.
Okay, so that's just it? I can't talk to now one of her?
Yeah, that's it. No, you ain't talking to nobody. You talking to me.
Okay, I got something else I need to tell you, though. I need to tell you something else. Are you listening?
What to tell me?
I want to tell you this. This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Vicky, your sister Sheila got me to prank phone call you.
Hold up. Who is this again?
Vicky, this is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Your sister Sheila got me to prank phone call you.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got me over here all worked up. I'm cussing. I'm going to kick she. She play too much. She ain't got to.
Vicky, I got one more thing to ask you, baby. What is the baddest, and I mean the baddest, radio show in the land?
The Steve Harvey Morning Show. Boy, y'all crazy.
Anybody?
Okay. She's trying to borrow a casket.
Keep on.
Somebody don't hurt you.
Yeah, I just, you know.
It's going to happen.
Yeah,
it's going to happen.
Paula, you never know when you're going to need a casket. Let's just get this understood.
Trying to borrow these people's casket.
You never know when you're going to. You could be short on caskets. You never know when you're going to need one.
What? This is crazy. crazy. Right.
See, you know, don't say it till you've been in the situation.
Don't judge.
Now, wait till y'all get to where y'all need a casket, okay?
We'll be dead.
I'm not going to really care.
Right.
Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Prank CD is in Walmart right now. Get your copy. Won't he do it? That is me, church, pranking church people. That's what I do. I prank them to the highest of highest prankstivity, and I do it, and I try to do it well. Won't he do it? Prank CD, Walmart, worldwide. What?
All of that.
Exactly. Wow. And Jay, you didn't know this, but he actually went to class to try and get his W's together, but he failed miserably.
Try to work on his W's?
Yeah, he failed miserably.
I'm sorry, it didn't work out.
We sent him at the wrong time. We sent him in the winter.
Yeah.
In the winter time.
All right. Coming up at the top of the hour, Miss Ann will be here.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, guys, the first black U.S. Olympic speed skater advances to the quarterfinals. Don't you love the sound of that headline?
Yes, so fast.
Team USA speed skater Mame Bynoe continues to make history. Yeah, Mame Bynoe continues to make history as she advances to the 500-meter quarterfinals. Love her energy. She's so bubbly and just sweet and happy. She's just
black
so
girl
thrilled.
Magic.
Yes.
Girl, as the other skaters call her, Shirley, damn.
Yeah. She's the first black woman to qualify for a U.S. Olympic speed skating team. And now she has a shot today to advance to the semifinals. She's 18 years old. She secured her spot. And her energy, she is so bubbly and fun and excited and happy to be there. She secured her spot with a time of 43.665 seconds. Wow.
That's fast.
Yeah.
I ain't seen that, man. I usually don't miss the majors. Mm-hmm. I miss that.
I'm
going to be our own reporter for the Olympics.
Correspondent.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to do it. Because, you know, Matt Lauer, he couldn't make it this year. Something popped off. So Mike Tirico is over there, and he's doing an excellent job.
Oh, he is.
But they sent Al Roker, too. Al looked bad in a skull cap.
Man, I'm with you.
Al looked bad in a skull cap.
And he's gained that weight back. He's too big to be on the ice. Go ahead.
What?
Wow.
Do we?
Hadn't
but
noticed
but
that.
But really? Tossed it back to you, Steve.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
Steve. Right. You guys. Crazy.
Al over there in the cold with that skull cap on. Mm-hmm.
Al don't even.
Al looked like a dead snowman.
Steve.
I said, damn, Al, come on, man. Because Mike Tirico is laying it out, man.
He's doing a great job covering everything, Steve. Yeah.
Hoda's over there, too. She looked good.
Love her. I love this new team they have. I love them.
I'm on NBC. NBC should have took me. You know what NBC should have did?
What?
They should have cut a deal, but I don't want to live in New York.
You don't have enough jobs, though? That would be my question.
I mean, you know, I'll leave something, though. I have to cut something loose. But if they, you know, I'd go up there and do the Today Show. I don't know. They probably think I don't talk.
Hold up. You'd have to cut something loose.
Yeah, what would you cut
loose?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to hear this.
I know you better not say this radio show. I know you better not say that. Say what you're finna say. Go ahead, say what you're finna say.
Go ahead, say it,
Steve.
Say it.
That's the thing that's in direct conflict with it today.
In direct conflict?
Both of them come on at 6.
Mm. And what is us going to do?
I'm going to New York with him.
I know you're going to be
a writer.
I'm going to go.
Us just be the weather. Out.
Anyway.
No, I don't know. I wouldn't know. I don't think that really has an appeal to me. That's not the format that I would excel in.
You got to get up real early, Steve, for that.
That don't bother
for
me,
this
man.
Show.
You the one. Hold up. Whoa. Is somebody talking about problems getting up early? Was that Jay?
I had trouble with my mic.
Was that Jay we talked? Jay said
yesterday.
Ain't that about nothing?
I'm saying it and I'm sticking with it.
He was here for 2 hours with mic trouble, but we ain't seen him though.
Hey, stuff happens.
Thank you, Shirley, for sticking up for me.
Quit making excuses for him.
Shirley, you always do that. You always make excuses for people.
Stuff happens, Steve. Miss Ann is here.
She's good people.
With more of today's headlines. All right, you got to introduce her, Steve.
Well, you just did it. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Ann is here with more of today's headlines. Go ahead, Miss Ann.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. This is Ann Tripp with the news. President Trump unveiled his 2019 budget proposals yesterday. It calls for increased spending on the military.
Our military was totally depleted, and we will have a military like we've never had before.
Also money for border security and the opioid crisis. However, most of the document already basically null and void since the Congress passed its own spending bill last night. Last week, you may remember, calling for many of the same things. However, there would be some changes. The president's long-awaited $1.5 trillion plan would upgrade the nation's roads and rails, but it would change the formula for the funding. For instance, while some highway projects are funded like 80-20, like 80% to 20%, with the feds playing the lion's share of that money. The White House's proposal would flip that with the financial burden onto the states and local governments. So the states and governments would have to pay 80% of what they need, and the federal government would only pay 20%. Now, Democrats say that kind of bill would be dead on arrival in the Congress because states and local governments don't have any money. The Trump administration also seeking to make changes in the current food stamp program, changes that would see the people who receive that aid given far less control over the food they can choose to buy. Two more Baltimore cops convicted of corruption charges, and prosecutors say they were members of a rogue firearms police unit. The prosecutors say robbed drug dealers, conducted illegal searches, covered up their crimes, and claimed unearned overtime. Puerto Rico's efforts to rebuild its power grid suffered a setback this week. Now, 5 months after Hurricane Maria raked over the island, a fire broke out in a substation early Sunday night, knocking out power to a number of homes and businesses. Local officials say, though, a lot of that power has been restored. Sad news, singer Victor Moan has died. Victor Moan made thousands of recordings over the years, and he provided a lot of the background music in the movie Goodfellas. If you remember hearing this in the back as they're talking about killing people, you know. Victor Moan, born in Brooklyn, died on Sunday in Miami Beach at age 89. And finally, portraits of former President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama now hang inside the National Portrait Gallery. Each was painted by a different artist, but both were black. And Mr. Obama joked about how he tried to get the artist who painted him to make some changes.
I tried to negotiate less gray hair. And Kehinde's artistic integrity would not allow him to do what I asked. I tried to negotiate smaller ears.
And that didn't either. They're on my Facebook page. We'll be back with more entertainment and today's trending topics at 20 seconds after on the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
As we mentioned, today is Mardi Gras. It's Fat Tuesday. Yeah. And tomorrow is Valentine's Day.
Valentine's. I've said it once and I've said it again. Valentine's.
So guys, right. Listen up. Yeah. Steve recently broke down some Valentine's Day do's and don'ts.
Well, can I just say that I'm set for tomorrow.
You good?
Yeah. I done made the plans. I tell you about it, but she might be listening and it'll blow the surprise. But it ain't really, but
you
it is. Huh?
You balling, ain't you? What you doing?
I'm going to do something nice, man. Not really nothing expensive, just really nice and thoughtful.
What bothers me, Carl, is when he say, I'm not going to really spend no money. I'm just going to do something nice. But when he say that, that's still $7,000-$8,000.
Why are you
it's reality.
Comes
I'm not hating on him. I'm just saying, that's what I'm getting
at.
Well,
he's got it, Tommy. I mean, that's okay.
Right.
I mean,
but quit telling us you just doing something nice. Something nice is some flowers and a card.
Well,
that's something
okay,
nice.
Okay, that can't happen. You know, I'm going to get flowers.
1-800-Flowers.com. Thank you, everyone.
She going to get flowers.
Was that a sheep plug right there?
Yeah. Go ahead. She going to get flowers. Ain't no doubt about that. In several places.
Aww,
ain't no doubt about
now
that.
Now, that's so romantic, Steve. Now, that I like. That's romantic.
Oh, what's wrong with the flowers? Wait a minute. In several places.
Oh yeah,
And where she goes,
I got it fixed
up. That's very romantic.
I got it fixed up. Yeah, man.
Learn yourself something, nephew.
So, how many different rooms is flowers in?
Oh, dog. First of all, the house gonna be dug with her favorite flowers.
Okay, so if I put flowers in the kitchen, and she go to the First of all,
let me explain something to you. Don't bring your little flowers over here.
No, I'm just asking.
Go ahead.
If I buy my wife some flowers and I put them in the big family room, I got some flowers. Now, when she go to the bathroom, can't I just move them flowers to the bathroom?
You sure can.
You making big moves, Tommy.
Whenever she go where she go, I just move these flowers.
Money moves, baby.
Yep. I get tired. I tell my son, where your mama go, take these flowers over there.
Did you hear what Jay said? You sure can. Do you know that Jay is single?
Have you heard?
Jay won't be doing nothing this Valentine's Day. So keep on listening to Team Tommy.
Better yet, you can take a picture of those flowers and spread them over the house. You can do that.
Nice.
Or, Tommy, you can quit being cheap and just put flowers in her bathroom, her bedroom, in the kitchen, in the family room, and whatever room she frequents.
Okay, so if I got a dozen, do I just break them up and move roses?
All right, copies. Listen, Tommy, you're hopeless. Comedy Roulette is coming up next. We'll be back at 34 after.
I mean, the flowers she want.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, guys, here we go. It is time for Comedy Roulette. Jay, please explain.
Very simple. We do this every week. Mm-hmm. It's very simple, very damn simple. Give us five subjects. Put those five subjects on a wheel. Spun the wheel.
Spun it.
Where the wheel stop, we do the damn thing.
Okay, all right. Well, let's go. Let's get to spunning then, Jay.
You never heard of spunning classes?
I'm taking one right now.
All right, what you got?
All right, here we go. Number one, ice cream.
That's good.
I'm with that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, number Steve with that, right.
Number two, all that fried food. Number three, nice Easter suit. Okay.
They still have Easter suit.
Yeah.
That is not a compliment.
Because it's not even Easter when you tell them that. Number four, I didn't get dumped, and I'll tell you why. And then number five, things weed smokers say.
Give me that one.
Let me have that one.
Let's go, Cat.
Come on, weed smoker. Come on, weed smoker. Weed smoker.
Uh-oh, nice Easter. Oh, no.
No, what you got?
I stepped on four. I didn't get dumped, and I'll tell you why right before.
I ain't get dumped. Tell you why.
Okay. Right before Valentine's Day, I want to hear this.
First of all, if you stutter when you say it, No, I didn't get dumped. You understand? If it's said like that, I didn't get dumped. No, I didn't get dumped at all. Yeah. I'm gonna tell you why. Go ahead.
I thought about this, and I'm gonna tell you right now. For me personally, I've never been dumped. She left.
She dumped you.
No, I ain't get dumped. She left. Okay. Dumped is when you sit down at a table and talk it over. And then y'all, she left.
All right,
I didn't get dumped. Mm-hmm. I didn't get dumped. She said that she was joining the service. So she gonna be gone for about 4 years. She just didn't want, you know what I'm saying? But see, I ain't get dumped though. No, she going to the Marines. I didn't get dumped.
We're playing comedy roulette. Come on, Steve, what you got?
It's Valentine's Day and I ain't get dumped because her birthday is the 15th.
So that's what he gonna say tomorrow, Steve.
She gonna hang on to me at least to then.
You gonna hold on to then, right. Here's something you never hear a man say,
what?
Which means he got dumped. She just wasn't ready for commitment.
That's 100.
Yeah.
She didn't wasn't ready for commitment.
She wasn't ready for commitment.
We'll never hear you say that. That's for sure.
Go ahead, Junior.
I tell you what, see.
You get done.
See, I ain't get done.
You get done.
Her job hours changed. So now she working night shift.
And you working days.
I want days.
We
ain't got time to see each other.
All right.
I ain't get dumped.
It's comedy roulette. Comedy roulette. Come on, nephew. What you got?
Look, I ain't get dumped. See, here the deal. Her mama and them is Muslim. And they don't, see, we can't go to church together. That's really what it was. I go to Mount Zion, you see. Uh-huh. But she go to the Jewish, see. But I ain't get dumped. It's just, it was a religious situation. Oh, okay.
Because you reaching.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you really reaching, uh-huh, that button.
Steve Harvey, you didn't get dumped.
No, I didn't get dumped, dog. Uh-huh. She always wanted to be a nun.
Yeah. I love it.
No, I didn't get dumped. I'm just too much man for her. Well,
it is.
All right, we got time for one more. Steve, you want to close it out? Comedy roulette for today.
Well, I didn't I didn't get dumped. Uh-huh. I just ain't know about the operation.
What?
It's over?
Wow. All right, we're going to end it on that note. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Nephew Tommy has a prank phone call right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after, it's today's Strawberry Letter. But up next, Nephew is here with today's prank phone call. What you got, Neph?
The draws at the retirement home.
Oh, yeah. I like how you say it, Tommy. Yeah,
the draws at the retirement home.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Okay, we done got down to the draws of it now. Let's go.
Wow.
Hello?
Yo.
Oh, yeah, who's this?
Who is this?
This is attorney David.
David who?
Uh-huh.
All right, this is Anthony.
Anthony, I was giving you a call. You used to work at the senior center, am I right?
Yes.
Okay, we got a bit of a problem here. Are you familiar with Miss? Yes.
Yes.
Older lady that a Caucasian lady that's here at the center.
Yes.
Okay, now we got a problem. I know you retired in December, but there's cleaning up her room. There's been some men's underwear found here, and she's saying that it's yours.
Well, then you got a problem, because I don't know where the lady live at.
No, here at the center, sir. They're claiming that...
Well, then, at the center, you find the lady's men underwear, said it was mine or whoever and whatever and whatever. Now, I don't waste my time with that. If you're going to call somebody, get it straightened out. But don't waste my time with you. Have a nice day.
Wait just a minute, sir. I don't want to have to. I don't want to have to get officials to come down there.
Hello.
Yes, sir, Mister. This is the attorney. Listen, I don't want. I want to try to do this without your wife finding out. But we need. I got a few questions I need to ask.
You tell your wife you're pumping. You man, don't mess with me. You're wasting my time.
Come on, call it back, dog.
This is Doris. Please enjoy the
music
until I answer
your call. That's right.
Come on, everybody, say
yeah.
Hello?
Doris, it's time.
Yes.
Boy, he didn't cuss us out, but he keep hanging up. So so I need you to help me out. I want you to call from your phone.
Uh-huh.
And put us on three-way and say, hey, you need to talk to these people.
Okay. Hello?
Hello?
This is Doris. Tony's right here. I told him about the situation with, so I just want him to clear it up so you can stop calling him, okay?
Hey, clear up.
Yes, I this is attorney David. Is he available where I can speak with him?
Sure. Hold on a second.
Attorney David.
David who? Hello.
Hello, Mr. Tony, Anthony?
Yeah.
Could you possibly tell me what's going on, why we would find your underwear in Miss's in her room?
How you know it wasn't your underwear?
I'm sorry, sir.
Actually, how I know it ain't your underwear?
Sir, I didn't work here. The lady is saying that it's actually your underwear that's been in her room here at the retirement home.
Well, man, you got the wrong one. Now, this is a bad time to be messing with me. And where is you at anyway?
Sir, I'm down here at my office right now.
Where your office at?
Do you need to come and see me?
Yeah, I need to come see you. Where your office at?
What seems to be the situation? Because I'm getting a hostile. You're sounding very hostile right now, sir.
Yeah, well, I'm a hostile individual.
Okay.
You're calling me something about some old lady. You go call me about somebody. Call me something about one of you. Say, yo,
sir, you're going to watch your tone, and you're going to talk to me like you got some sense.
Man, I ain't got to watch nothing. I'm an old man. I ain't got to do but die. I don't even pay taxes. What you want? You want to do something, you go ahead and only do it. But don't be calling my number no more.
Okay. Well, I want to tell you this, sir.
Yes?
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You have been prank phone called by your girl that's standing right there with you, Doris.
You know what? I ought to kick both of y'all. So why you do that, Tommy? What's wrong with you, man?
Man,
you know, this ain't no good time for me, man. I don't have time, man. You messing with me. Where you at, man?
Man, I'm in the studio. I'm in New York City, man.
Oh, New York. Well, you get a chance when you're going back to Philly, you stop through Trenton. Let me holler at you for real. Hey, put your picture on TV so I see what, know what you look like next time I see you.
Oh, man.
You got it, but you must don't know this woman. You got the wrong one. You should have had somebody else's name. It ain't going to work. This is a whole woman, man. And I know she couldn't get that off of nobody because she's crazy as hell. All right, but I got something for Miss Doris.
Hey, I got to ask you one more thing, Mr. Anthony. What is the baddest radio show in the land, man?
Man, you know what it is. Steve Harvey Morning Show. Hell? All right, peace, man.
Come on now. Every now and then you leave your drawers somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
No, you what?
I ain't the only one that left my drawers somewhere.
Drawers is a dead giveaway. Dead giveaway. Yes.
Jay. You ain't been doing nothing.
What? I didn't even notice.
Just commando. Huh?
Yeah,
it's a dead giveaway.
What did I do with them drawers?
I know I had them on when I left.
Draws at retirement home. You can get my latest prank CD in Walmart right now. It's called Won't It Do It. It's me pranking church people. Get your copy today. Nephew Tommy in Walmart.
Okay. So, Tommy, when you put one out, do you immediately start working on the next one? Is that how that goes?
I always try to put a theme together on what the next one would be. Like I've been thinking about like school teachers. You know,
I got an idea.
And you saying theme, you're talking about the prank CDs?
The prank CD, like, you know, so I'll do like.
That you've never done.
Yeah, what's yours, Steve?
I think you should do other stupid people like you.
Prank comedians, because they can't take a joke.
They can't.
No, y'all can't. Why is that?
Well, because we're so used to joking that when the jokes come at us.
We're sensitive.
We're very sensitive.
And Steve Harvey cannot. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, he can't take it.
Well, I'm with Steve, present company not included. I am very sensitive.
It ain't what y'all do.
Yeah, but like, for instance... You text us all the time. You expect us to get right back to you immediately. So the other day, you text Monica, and she texted you back, can't talk right now, holler at you later.
Was he heated?
Oh, was he?
On fire?
He threatened her life. What are you talking about, Jay? He can't take a joke.
No, he can't.
I quit texting him because I feel a certain kind of way when you don't hit me back.
Yeah.
And he don't hit you back.
Uh-uh.
As soon as you miss him, he'll have a...
What you can't be is expect me not to get upset.
Oh.
And, please
and
do,
and comedians
are in the
joke-telling business, not in the joke-taking business.
Let's be clear, Jay. Let's be clear
what we do.
You know, yeah, that's right. Take your little joke over there with somebody who, you know, up for it.
Yeah, see, we tell jokes, so we don't want to hear jokes.
I don't understand that. That's baffling to me.
Off air, he'll tell you.
Okay.
Is the first
I don't
word.
Think Junior is like that, though. What? You can't
You're
take
sensitive
a joke?
Like that, too?
Oh, for why would you do that?
You ain't met Junior.
You don't
Junior.
Act like that.
You know, we know.
It's other people. Shirley, there's plenty of people out there. They rewrite jokes about, on, and for. It's way more of them. Why are you over here with the specialist who ain't got time for your little antics? See, and plus what you think funny ain't really funny.
Because it's on you. Yeah. That's
That's why it's not funny. It's funny.
We don't even know how you came up with it.
No, see, Shirley.
You don't want to hear.
Shirley, it'll never be heavy. It ain't well thought out. It ain't nothing. It just be little simple ass.
How dare you judge?
Yeah. That's a joke.
I can't judge because I write them for a living.
Oh, God.
I'm tell you
know
joke
your place, girl.
You're too sensitive. You got to be able to laugh at yourself sometimes.
I laugh at myself listen. All the time.
Listen, coming up at the top of the hour, we have today's Strawberry Letter, and it's one, of course, you don't want to miss. We'll be right back.
Didn't that be about us?
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, well, happy Mardi Gras Day. It is Fat Tuesday. Carla, yeah, what you is. Got for the guys? You're from New Orleans. Well, you've been there, spent time there. Your husband's from there. What's going on?
It's what is it? Lundy? I'm sorry.
Lundy Gras, that's yesterday. That's Monday. Mardi Gras is today, Tommy. Tuesday. Mardi Gras.
Well, if Monday is Lundy, shouldn't,
okay, Tommy.
Shouldn't Tuesday be Lusdy?
Okay, Tommy.
Is there a stupid day? Is there a stupid day?
Why don't
and
you
then
play
and then Lindsay, Lursday,
and Lydie.
What?
Right
he is so stupid.
Happy Lydie.
Marty is Tuesday in French. Don't overthink.
No, London, Lursday, Lindsay, Lursday, Lydie. And then we be on the weekend, it be Lydie. What?
Lydie.
And right Lundy.
That's right up there with
go to church on Lundy.
On Lundy. Yeah. But we got to do a shout out. It's Fat Tuesday, Mardi Gras. Shout out to New Orleans. We got a lot of listeners in New Orleans.
Yes.
Mobile, Alabama.
Mobile, love them. Pritchett.
Yeah. Houston, yeah. Galveston. They do big celebrations.
And everything.
Oh, yeah. Yes, Steve. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
Houston
okay,
Galveston
Carla.
Also.
Yeah. Who
I'm not a Mardi Gras expert.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I'm with Tommy. Alabama, who really started Mardi Gras?
Alabama
or New
Orleans?
I don't know.
Don't
get me
listen
in
to me,
they
Tommy.
Fight about that, right?
Is that an all-out war right
Tommy,
there,
Tommy,
huh?
Listen to me. It's all Mobile got. You can't take that from them. they got Mardi Gras, and they got that building on Airport Boulevard with the sign that go around it, the label on top. That's they claim to fame. And that damn battleship out there. You and try to take one of them three things.
Yeah, you're going to have
isn't right. that where your best friend is from, Steve?
Greg Calhoun? No, he's from Montgomery.
Oh,
he's
from Montgomery.
Not Mobile.
No. Yeah. Greg Calhoun
mean,
from the Gump.
Yeah, that is definitely.
Yeah, Montgomery.
He's from the Gump.
Yeah. So we just want to say happy Mardi Gras.
I have some friends down there, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time we ever saw our black audience. Steve was in Mobile at that time.
That's right.
What?
I started
the very
it. I was
first
the
time.
First one the very to first start time. A radio very night down time. There, 93 BLX.
Never saw
I
black
started people. A radio audience down there. I was the first mm-hmm. one.
Really?
It had yeah. all black audience.
We used to do all white clubs. I mean, all white audiences, I meant to say. And that was the first place in people to start it where you saw all black on Tuesday night. It
and y'all
packed.
Can thank Steve Harvey for that. Thank
we want to
go
thank
ahead,
you.
You should say you're welcome.
You two pioneers. We appreciate it.
No, man. I ain't going to lie to you. It was
we're
no
trailblazers.
Such thing.
That's what we do.
Until I started Black Radio Night down in Mobile, 93 BLX. What's them boys' name? Skip Cheatham was down there.
Greg Street
was down there.
Oh, okay.
Tony Brown, I think Tony Brown.
Yeah, he used to be the PD in Mobile. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, he was down there. And then it was a sales dude name, and I'm looking at his face. Greg.
Look at us reminiscing.
Man.
It sounds like we on the front porch.
I know.
On Dolphin Street. 93 BLX used to be on Dolphin Street.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So all right, let's get to the letter. We'll think of it.
I still don't know who started Mardi Gras, but okay, buckle up. Hold on.
Yeah, we're not finna help you.
Don't go to Mobile anytime soon, nephew.
New Orleans, you go wherever you want.
All right, here it is, Strawberry Letter.
A subject needing Big Daddy's opinion. Good morning, Steve Harvey and crew. I'm writing this letter because I'm a 30-year-old single mother of one who finally decided to be in a committed relationship after being married before, divorced, and in the dating game for a few years, so I've had a little time to free myself. The man I am seeing is also 30 years old, and we've been seeing each other for 5 months. He's sweet, patient, well-mannered, giving, a hard worker, willing to compromise, very affectionate, and is a Tony the Tiger great lover. The only thing is that he has five kids by four different women, ranging from 11, 5, 4, 3 years of age, and 7 months. Don't get me wrong, I knew all kids and parents at the very beginning, but now I have strong feelings for this man. He explained to me that he had all those kids with that many women by circumstance, in relationships with some, and flings with others. He also states he has never found a woman worth settling down with prior to meeting me. He is definitely a man. I've seen with my own eyes that he takes care of all his kids and spends time with all. My issue is I wonder, could there really be a future with this man? I haven't had any baby mama drama just yet, and I hope I never will. He and I communicate about that as well, and he says he has it all under control. I care for this man and want to have a future one day with him and his small football team, but is it possible with a man with so many kids? Thanks so much. Sincerely, needing Big Daddy's opinion. Okay, to you I say slow your roll. Hold up just a little bit, okay? 5 months, 5 months. You know, you've only known Brother Man with the five kids by four different women for 5 months. And 5 months is not a long time for you to get to know a person, but it is enough time for you to know what he wants you to know. You said he explained to you that he had all these kids with so many women by circumstance. Okay, what does that mean? I really, really don't know what that means. And here's my question to all of that. Hello, Mr. Tony the Tiger, great lover. Why weren't you using protection?
There you go, Shirley.
Why? Yeah. 11, 5, 4, 3, and then you have one 7 months old, and you've just been in a relationship with her for 5 months. I'm saying to you, young lady, take your time. Watch what he does, not what he says. He might claim to have everything under control, and that statement right there bothers me, because usually when they say that, they don't. But with all he's got going on, plus adding you and your child in the mix, things could very well start to unravel at some point. So you just need more time, okay? He might be a good man, and he may have changed his ways, but 5 months, I don't think you can tell that, especially, you know, with all these kids and stuff. Just hold on. Steve?
Big doggy?
Lord have mercy, dude. I have something for this.
You see something?
I don't
want to
get started right
always.
Now. Because I only got a minute.
Your third eye is working, huh?
Hey, oh, well, but it's real simple, though.
Let me tell the people this, though. If you want to comment on the Strawberry Letter, it is posted right now. All you have to do is go to steveharvey.com, click on the Strawberry Letter, and just get to typing, okay? Just like that. We'll be back with Steve Harvey's opinion.
And you can go on the website and read everybody's response to the letter.
Oh, yeah.
Mine, you will hear, though. You can't read
nice,
mine.
Though.
You can't type what I'm finna say.
Be nice with your response.
Be nice.
No, not you.
Be you.
Oh.
No, I'm just saying on the website. Just, you know.
Did she said needing Big Daddy's opinion.
That's what she said. That's
she
what
asked
she said.
For that.
She wants the truth from you.
What I was fitting to do.
Oh,
what is
on,
your fist to do?
Is be that there soon as I can.
Say it again now.
Be that there
soon
as I can.
There it is.
Crazy Steve.
I'm finna tear it up right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, come on. Let's go. Let's get to this. Part two of your response to today's Strawberry
well,
Letter.
If you want me to.
I do. I do. Right, we do.
Subject, needing Big Daddy's opinion.
That would be you, Big Daddy.
Good morning, Steve Harvey and crew. I'm writing this letter because I'm a 30-year-old single mother of one who finally decided to be in a committed relationship after being married before, divorced, and in the dating game for a few years, so I have had a little time to free myself. The man that I'm seeing is also 30 years old, and we have been seeing each other for 5 months. He's sweet, patient, well-mannered, giving, a hard worker, willing to compromise, very affectionate, and is the Tony the Tiger great lover. The only thing is that he has five kids by four different women, ranging from 11, 5, 4, 3 years of age, and 7 months. Don't get me wrong, I knew all the kids and parents at the very beginning, but now I have strong feelings for this man. He explained to me that he had all those kids with that many women by circumstance, in relationships and some, and flings with others. He also states that he's never found a woman worth settling down with prior to meeting me. He is definitely a man. I've seen with my own eyes that he takes care of all of his kids and spends time with all. My issue is, I wonder, could there really be a future with this man? I haven't had any baby mama drama just yet and hope I never will. He and I communicate about that as well, and he says that he has it all under control. I care for this man and want to have a future one day with him and his small football team. But is it possible with a man with so many kids? Thanks so much. Sincerely needing Big Daddy's opinion. Well, here it go.
Come on, Steve.
Let's start this Daddy. Letter. This letter really is about one thing.
What's that, Unc?
Tony the Tiger.
I knew it.
See, let's
I knew
just
you were
go
gonna
on
say
get
that.
Down here. Because Tony and his tiger is outstanding. That's really what this is about.
She
Tony and his tiger doing their thing. That's really what this letter about. Let's please make no mistake about it. Because any woman that's willing to overlook all of this right here,
right,
dive headstrong into this. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. This about Tony the tiger. Now listen to this. She's 30 years old, finally decided to get in a committed relationship because she's been married, divorced, been in a dating game. So she says, I've had a little time to free myself. I got news for you, lady. You about to be unfree in a minute. You about to be tied up. You damn near going to be a hostage.
Yes.
You free now. You marry this man with all these kids, and then get this. The man I'm seeing, he's 30.
Mm-hmm.
We've been seeing each other for 5 months. Then she go into this. He's sweet, he's patient, he's manly, he's giving, he's hardworking, willing to compromise, very affectionate, and is a Tony Tiger. The only thing is he got five kids by four different women. All y'all feel the same way about it.
That he's Tony the Tiger.
All five of y'all feel the same way about Tony the Tiger. He's patient, hardworking, affectionate. Just stop all that. He's Tony the Tiger in the bedroom. That's what he is. You done overlooked. He got flaws. You ain't mentioned no flaws. That's because he in the bedroom frying that bacon.
Come
like
on.
That bacon need to be fried. That's all it is. He know when to flip it. He know how high to cut the heat up. He know how to make it crispy. He got flaws. You just can't see him.
Come on.
Because he Tony the damn tiger. In the bedroom, he got stripes. He better than a bowl of corn flakes with frost on them.
Okay.
He's Tony the tiger. You get through making love, y'all just sit up and eat frosted flakes in the bedroom. That's how good it is. Now listen, pass me the milk. I got milk wiping your mouth and everything. Listen to this right here. The only thing is he got five kids, four different women. Then he go, they ranging from 11, 5, 4, 3, and 7 months. This boy been this stupid since he was 18.
Okay.
Do the math. He ain't learned nothing.
Nothing.
He did it at 18. He came back at 25. Did it again at 26.
Come on.
Did it again at 27. Took a break.
Yep.
Came back, popped another one out at 30. He ain't learned nothing. He don't know that he can stop at Walgreens, CVS, Rexall, Walmart, Target, the convenience store, the liquor store.
Come on.
Everybody selling the condom now. At the truck stop in the bathroom, you can get a condom. But Tony Tiger ain't got time for that. He too busy being a tiger.
Being
Tigers
great.
Don't shop at the drugstore. Tigers just walk around wild. Okay, here we go. Now, let me tell you this right here. He explained to me that he had all those kids with that many women by circumstance. Lady. He had all them kids with that many women by having Tony the Tiger sex. There wasn't no circumstances. They was having sex. He didn't have all these kids by circumstances. He had them by having sex. He had some with relationships with some and flings with the other. Well, Tony just been flinging his tiger all around town.
Cage that tiger.
That's what you call a fling. See, Tony been walking around town flinging his tiger out all over town. Now he done flung his big tiger on you. Uh-oh. Tiger got stripes on it, claws, big teeth. He done locked down into your thing. Now all of a sudden, Tony Tiger is patient. He's sweet. He's well-mannered. He's giving. He's a hard worker. He's one of them, all this here. You finna have a baby yourself. I got news for you. He just had a baby that's 7 months. Y'all been dating each other for 5. Tony, still do the math on this right here.
Come on.
And oh, by the way, go to the doctor your damn self. You need to try to find out if maybe you ain't got one in the oven.
Whoa.
This is the most fertile man I've ever met in my life.
Right.
He's a baby-making machine. And you're about, okay, now here we go. Let me tell you, cut that music off. Listen to this right here. Okay, he also states that he's never found a woman worth settling down prior to me. He's definitely a man. Here it is. I've seen with my own eyes that he takes care of all of his kids and spends time with all of them. Well, let me ask you something. Anybody you know got 5 kids by 4 different women all over town. When has he had time to see you?
Thank you.
By the time he keep driving between all them houses, when is he going to have time for you? And since you only been dating 5 months, I got a real shocker for you. This your first Christmas with the man. You ain't finna get a damn thing. I got news for you. He got to buy so many PlayStation.
All right, Steve, we got to go. You can email us or Instagram us your thoughts on today's Strawberry Letter at My Girl Shirley. And please join me this Thursday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern on Facebook Live for the Strawberry Letter Live After Show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All of Black America cannot wait. Cannot wait. This weekend it goes down. Black Panther is in theaters this Friday.
Yes.
Wow. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about
just
that.
Just white America. I mean, then Black America don't show.
Oh, yeah. Everybody wants to see this movie. You're right. Yeah.
Everybody.
We're going to talk about that. But first, I have to ask you guys if you saw the portrait of President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama. They were revealed. They were revealed yesterday. They were revealed yesterday. The National Portrait Gallery, that's where they're going to hang in Washington, D.C., has 2 new additions to its collection of presidential portraits, former President Barack and First Lady Michelle. The portraits were unveiled yesterday. They're now part of the only complete collection of portraits of presidents outside the White House. The portrait of President Obama was by artist Kehinde Wiley. It featured Obama sitting in a chair with his arms folded with like this lush green background. You guys see that, right?
Yeah. Like poison ivy.
It's just flowers.
Yeah.
Who the artist, Shirley?
His name is Kehinde. What, Steve? Kehinde Wiley. And President Obama.
That's Mary J. Blige, think so?
Can do, you crazy man.
Oh. Man, I don't have my phone ring.
No, I thought it was...
Every time we do a joke, his phone rang.
And then Michelle Obama's portrait by artist Amy Sherald features the former First Lady in a seated position wearing like a geometric pattern dress. And against a light blue background.
Why is she gray, though, Shirley? Why?
Because
I don't understand.
This artist was saying that's how she paints people of color. She paints them gray, I guess, because of what the color gray represents.
Well, what color she paint white people?
She's an African American artist.
She don't paint white people,
yeah.
Jim.
Yeah, she paints. She paints mostly African American people, and she didn't say.
And why is the president in that garden? What is that for?
Well, I mean, that's the artist's vision. That's the artist's vision. He said that the president was saying the artist wanted to paint him, you know, kind of like a king, high above everything in a throne or mounted on a horse or something. And President Obama said, I have enough political problems right now. I don't need anything. Bring it down. Yeah. So they'll be hanging the 2 new portraits in the National Portrait Gallery in Washington, D.C. There you go.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, these is the photos. Ain't no votes or nothing.
Oh, you mean are people voting on the photos?
No,
or you
I mean these just the photos.
Yeah, these
are the pictures.
Yeah, these are the photos that will be hanging. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what they're going with. It's,
this
it's
is what's going to be hung. They're
going to
put
it's
going
to be hung. I'm all for it.
Yeah. It's total art. Support. It's art. Yeah. Okay.
It's what the artist says it looks like, and so you can't argue with that.
All right, so now back to Black Panther, guys. And like you were saying, Steve, all of America is anticipating Black
this
Panther.
Movie right here.
Yeah, which opens in theaters Friday. Yeah.
It's only sci-fi movie I've ever wanted to see.
Yeah, I mean, is this our first black hero? Like this superhero?
No.
Black Lightning.
Black Lightning is really funny. I like that show.
No, it's really cool. Superfly.
Yeah, Superfly.
First black
hero. He's a hero for that.
Y'all talking about everybody. Boy.
A reporter from the LA Times described Black Panther as a superhero movie about why representation and identity matters and how tragic it is when those things are denied to people. Adam V. from BuzzFeed wrote, director Ryan Coogler has harnessed the superhero movie and a really fun one to explore profound ideas and create vivid images of black excellence that so rarely ever make it to a giant Hollywood movie. And Steve, I know we can't wait to see this Black Panther movie. And Chadwick Boseman, we love him, stopped by your daytime TV talk show. And you asked him some quick rapid-fire questions.
Chadwick, are you a morning or a night person?
Night.
Describe yourself in three words.
Let me see. I got this.
I got this. What's the first thing you do when you get up in the morning?
Pray, meditate.
What is something that many people take seriously but shouldn't?
Parking tickets.
What's your biggest addiction?
The show Narcos.
That's my show, man.
I love that show, yeah, Narcos. I can't stop watching it. Like, I'll go back and watch Owens and everything. But it's the wife.
On Netflix, Narcos. It's a really good series, man. Really, really good. All right, let's go. What's your all-time favorite song?
For All We Know, Donny Hathaway.
Oh, this boy finna make me tear up, man. Man, thank you, man. Somebody knows something about some damn music. What's the last thing you liked on social media?
There's a video of this Jamaican dude singing this song, Kukumba. Have you seen it? Kukumba. You need to look this up. It's beautiful.
Oh, they're going to look it up. Don't worry about it.
Cucumber, but Kukumba. Yeah.
What's your favorite movie quote?
You used to be beautiful. Sam Jackson, Jackie Brown.
Really? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I like
that.
She
says to Robert De Niro.
Your greatest achievement?
Oh, man, just being alive right now. Seriously, like, just being alive.
Yeah.
Just being alive.
Yeah, I like that too, man. What's your last thought before going to bed?
Thank you.
Yeah, that's Thank a good you. One. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was great. We love Chadwick Boseman. What a great, great actor.
Talented.
He's so talented.
Incredibly talented.
Yeah. Hey, Tommy, you think you could have played Black Panther? Because you act pretty good.
Hell yeah.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to talk about women in the workplace. They need to start getting along. Come on, ladies. Come on, sisters.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, so you know the TV show and the movie franchise, Sex and the City, right? You've seen it before.
Right.
Okay. Well, the actresses on the show and the movie, they're beefing. Sadly, actress
beefing?
Kim... Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, sadly, Kim Cattrall, her brother passed away recently, and her co-star, Sarah Jessica Parker, did an interview, and Sarah Jessica Parker offered condolences to Kim Cattrall. But Kim responded in a tweet. This is Kim talking now. Let me make this very clear, if I haven't already. You are not my family. You are not my friend. So I'm writing to tell you one last time to stop exploiting our tragedy in order to restore your nice girl persona. I don't need your love or support at this tragic time at Sarah Jessica Parker. Wow.
Mm. That's a warning.
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a warning right there.
You got one more.
Yeah, I'm last time.
Mm. Yeah.
Don't need it. Don't want it.
Not finna tell you no more. I'm not finna
say
tell
something
you
else.
While she's grief stricken, she said this. So she's really serious.
Make that your last time.
Yeah. Leave us alone.
Mm-hmm.
I saw.
Don't come for me.
One of the worst funeral ass whoopings I've ever seen.
Huh?
At a funeral.
Really? What do you mean?
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
A dude came to this girl's funeral that he had broken up with. Uh-huh. And he came to the funeral. And the family didn't think he should have been there.
Oh, Lord.
And there we start.
Boy.
It went down. It went down.
At the funeral,
And they spotted him right before he was walking by to view the body.
I know the... Is that Randy?
Yeah, dog. That's exactly how it went. I know, good hell. And I could see the whole family over there. I said, God, dog. There wasn't nothing I could do, man.
Wow.
That dude went over there. He was heartbroken. He was crying. It was his ex-girlfriend. He crying.
Mm-hmm.
Her brother stood up and said, what is you crying for? I said, okay. Damn, he used to date her. She dead. That he cared about her. They broke up, but he here to show his respect. What you crying for?
Wow.
Mm.
Oh, you trying to cry for all the times you made her cry?
Oh.
And he said, hey, man, I'm really sorry, brother. Sorry for y'all's loss. Mm. My mama don't need you telling her you sorry for our loss, man.
Wow. Mm.
She need to just get up out of here, partner.
Ooh.
And that's how it started.
When you hear partner at a funeral, you shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Now, did they whoop his behind right there by the body, though?
No. They waited until he got out because her mama was sitting there.
Oh, okay.
But the brothers all got up and followed him out.
Wow.
Mm.
I was out in the lobby of the funeral home trying to get him out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, they just going there talking to me. I said, man, why don't you just go and get in your car, man? No, man, I just came to show my respect, Steve.
Better get your ass.
They ain't have to talk to me like this. I said, hey, man, why don't you just go and get in your car? Them damn doors opened up. I said, man, probably too late to get in the car.
And so and then what happened?
They whooped his ass.
And
you didn't pull him off of him, dog?
Hey, whoa. I tried to get the dude in the car. Me and him wasn't that close.
You don't really know him.
Dog,
I ain't really
now
know him like that.
Close.
All I was out there was doing just trying to get him off into the car. I saw the heat swelling up in there. And I just tried to get dude in the car. Hey, dog, it wasn't my homie, my homeboy, nothing like that.
Okay.
Partner.
Mm-hmm.
Come up on the same block. Now, he been 112th Street, boy. I'd have been up in there. But you wasn't one of my block cats. No, I ain't got nothing for you. I told your ass to get in the car. They were whooping his ass. The funeral director was out there pulling on people.
Oh, man.
He grabbed the brother and said, brothers. He said, hey, man, get your damn hands off me. Now, you grab me one more time. Now, the other two brothers are steady wailing on this dude.
Wow.
He said, but you grab me one more time, you're going to get some of this right here.
Whoa.
He said, well, all right then.
But
funeral director.
Don't you think sometimes, you know, well, she wouldn't have wanted, you know, the deceased person, she wouldn't have wanted you guys to act like this at her funeral and all
she
of that.
She probably wasn't, Shirley. Mm-hmm. She probably wouldn't have wanted that, but she kind of quiet, though. So.
And she don't know, Shirley.
I know that, but I'm just saying, you have to govern yourselves accordingly. Sometimes.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Always work.
And then the mama came out there. She was this ain't the place for this. Stop
it. Right,
and then that's when they stopped. The mama made them stop.
Talk.
Good.
Getting in here, this girl is laying up here and y'all in here fighting like fools. Get your ass in here.
Uh-huh.
And them dudes got right on up in there, man. Walked in there, straightened their little ties up like ain't nothing happened.
Yes, ma'am.
I sat there. I went on in there with him. I left the dude in the hallway. That's on him.
The one that you,
like, mama said, y'all get y'all ass in here. I figured she was talking to me.
You had to go too.
Yeah, I know. I already tried to stop one ass with me. It didn't work. What I'm not going to do is stay out in this hallway. Then she said, didn't I say get in here?
Woo.
You didn't want to get fussed at.
So I was right on there with Miss Wallace. Went right on in there.
Never did stop ass whipping.
Didn't I say, though, it's serious.
Don't you hate it when you're in one, though, and somebody holding you? So, that's when you get hit.
I hate it when I'm in one and someone won't stop it. That's what I hate.
Like Steve just did.
That's the one that's
don't
grabbing.
You see him whooping my head?
Dog, I told him. I said, hold up, dog. Hey, man, just go and get in your car. Mm-hmm. I'm in here trying to pay my respect. Hey, man, them dudes in there sound a little warm. Why don't you just go head on?
Well, I hope that changed him as a man if he was mistreating her or whatever, like the brother said. I hope that changed him for future relationships.
I knew their relationship. It wasn't abusive.
Uh-huh. Oh,
you know
okay.
what I mean? They just broke up.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, man, he wasn't beating that girl or nothing. He never, there ain't no way in hell you come to that funeral. But they were so grief-stricken that you broke up, you know.
So, yeah. Carla,
so you did
is Sarah Jessica trying to show up at the funeral?
I don't know if she's trying to show up at the funeral. I think she was just offering her condolences.
Yeah. I don't think it would be a good idea.
Like
it,
that if you're wanted. You really know. She knew.
Well, she knows she's not wanted. She's
fight at funerals, too, because I've been to one of them. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, dog, I'm from West Virginia.
I don't even know what that means.
Fight everywhere.
All right, look.
Everywhere.
We'll be back right after this.
Everywhere.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, you were saying that you saw a fight. What was this now? And
another
fight you
saw.
Huh?
Country people have very similar ways of settling stuff that I think is very similar to the urban community.
What you mean by that?
Like, for example, I performed at this place called Bucky's. I told y'all about this place. Had a pool table in the middle of the room, and they set fold-away chairs around it. And he had a stage. It was a card table. So just take a card table that be in your closet that you flip the legs out under. He folded it under and put Christmas lights on and said, that's the stage.
Yeah.
Okay.
I said, I'll be damned, man, but 2 inches off the ground. And then if you step off of it, get back up on the stage.
Okay, I got that visual. I have that visual. Okay, I see what you're working with.
It was a trailer park up the street. Now, I ain't saying that's where they stayed, but when all of them came to the club, they all came from that direction. I don't know. Can't say for sure. But it was a lot of houses up there that wasn't tied down.
On wheels.
And with hitches on it. And most everybody came was in a pickup truck with overalls and a lot of stuff said John Deere. That's all I'm saying.
That's what you saw.
That's what it was.
Okay.
So I finished performing, got my little money. I go to the hotel. The next morning I'm leaving and I'm passing by Bucky's and I see the club on the outside sweeping. Just a regular whisk broom sweeping, not a push broom. And it was a truck, one pickup truck in front of it. So I stopped to thank the guy for having me that night, just being nice. He said, man, he's a nice guy, man. He's one of the funniest people ever to come out there. I wish you well, man. I really do. Thanks for coming. And he looked over and he saw the pickup truck. He said he was sweeping. He said, I got sweep right here. Let me get this fella out of his truck. So he took the broom and he knocked on the window. Mm-hmm. Well, the dude was asleep and he knocked again. And so he said, hey, don't knock on my window again with that broom. Well, that right there to somebody stay up the street, that I'm just assuming. Mm-hmm. He stay up the street in them, you know, places with the hitches on them. That's like an invite. He said, don't knock on my window again. So he took that broom and pat right on it again. Now, he rolls the window down and they have an exchange of words. He said, I just need you to move up because I'm trying to sweep.
Okay.
So the dude said, didn't I tell you not to knock on my window? He said, I just did.
Come on.
So then he opens the door and puts his foot out the truck. Crack! Right across the head with that damn broom and broke it.
Oh, God.
And then stepped back with the remainder of the broom. Like, I got more for you if you keep walking.
Wow.
He said, I'll tell you what, next time I see you, swing at broom at me again next time I see you.
I'm going to show you something,
Bucky. Uh-oh.
But he got on back in that truck, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I stared there, and Bucky said it. Son of a.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went, let me just get my black ass in this car.
Yeah, I think so.
So I don't have to fill out no police report and be witness to this. And somehow I get arrested.
Yeah.
And I just drove off and never been back there again. Just thought I'd share that moment with you.
All right, more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show and Winter Olympics coverage right after this.
It was in the trailer park up the street.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, guys, the first black U.S. Olympic speed skater advances to the quarterfinals. Don't you love the sound of that headline?
God, yes.
So
yes.
Fast.
Team USA speed skater Mame Bynoe continues to make history. Yeah, Mame Bynoe continues to make history as she advances to the 500-meter quarterfinals. Love her energy. She's so bubbly and just sweet and happy. She's just
black
so
girl
thrilled.
Magic.
Yes.
She's as the other skaters call her, Shirley, damn.
Yeah. She's the first black woman to qualify for a U.S. Olympic speed skating team.
She is fast, man.
Skating team. And now she has a shot today to advance to the semifinals. She's 18 years old. She secured her spot. And her energy, she is so bubbly and fun and excited and happy to be there. She secured her spot with a time of 43.665 seconds.
Damn.
Wow.
That's fast.
Yeah.
I ain't seen that, man. I usually don't miss the majors. Mm-hmm. I missed that.
You know,
I'm going to be our own reporter for the Olympics.
Correspondent.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm going to do it. Because, you know, Matt Lauer, he couldn't make it this year. Something popped off. So Mike Tirico is over there, and he's doing an excellent job.
Oh, he is.
But they sent really Al Roker, too. Al looked bad in a skull cap.
Man, I'm with you.
Al looked bad in a skull cap.
And he's gained that weight back. He's too big to be on the ice. Go ahead.
What?
Wow.
You guys, crazy.
Al over there in the cold with that skull cap on.
Mm-hmm. Al don't even.
Steve.
I said, damn, Al, come on, man. Because Mike Tirico is laying it out, man. Hoda's over there, too. She looked good.
Love her. I love this new team they have. I love them.
I'm on NBC. NBC should have took me. You know what NBC should have did?
What?
They should have cut a deal, but I don't want to live in New York.
You don't have enough jobs, though? That would be my question.
I mean, you know, I'll leave something, though. I have to cut something loose. But if they, you know, I'd go up there and do the Today Show. I don't know. They probably think I don't talk.
Hold up. You'd have to cut something loose.
Yeah, what would you cut
loose?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to hear this.
I know you better not say this radio show. I know you better not say that. Say what you're finna say. Go ahead, say what you're finna say.
Say it.
Well, it is.
Say it. Go say it, Steve.
Say it.
That's the thing that's in direct conflict with you today.
In direct conflict?
Yeah. Both of them come on at 6.
Mm. And what is us going to do?
I'm going to New York with him.
You're going to be
a writer.
I'm going to go.
Us just be
the weather.
Anyway.
No, I don't know. I wouldn't know. I don't think that really has an appeal to me. That's not the format that I would excel in.
You got to get up real early, Steve, for that.
That don't bother
for
me,
this
man.
Show.
You the one. Hold up. Whoa. Is somebody talking about problems getting up early? Was that Jay?
I had trouble with my mic.
Was that Jay we talked? Jay said
yesterday.
Ain't that about nothing?
I'm saying it and I'm sticking with it.
He was here for 2 hours with mic trouble, but we didn't see him though.
All right, we'll be back with Steve's closing remarks coming back at 49 after the hour. You don't want to miss them.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Here we are, the last break of the day with just one more thing and Steve's closing remarks. But before we get to that, Steve, and I can't wait for those, J-Spot tonight, what's going on?
J-Spot tonight, it's all going down with Lunell. Lunell.
She's funny.
This week, get your tickets from Eventbrite, J-Spot, 5581 West Manchester Avenue, Los Angeles, California. And a big celebration for Paul Mooney. and honoring Mr. Dick Gregory. You can get those tickets on Eventbrite right now.
Okay. The J Spot in Los Angeles.
Wow, that's pretty good, Jay.
That's nice.
You, yeah.
Thank you. You thought of that?
I did. Everything that happens there, it's me.
All me, huh, Jay?
No, Niel is my manager comes up with a lot of good stuff.
Oh, I know Niel. She's cool.
She's very good. Yes, yes, yes. Kevin Hart soon, one day.
Which day?
You said think big. Steve always says think big. Yeah. That's what I'm doing. He's coming one day.
Hey, dog, if I came, could you get them cameras?
What cameras you mean?
Out of there.
Oh, no cameras. Oh, there'll be no cameras. No, you ain't get to worry about that. They would never know you was there.
And the phones.
And the phones, though.
They would never know you was in there if you show up.
Oh, talk about thinking big, Jay. That's cool. Yeah.
Damn, Kevin Hart, I got Steve coming.
Trying to fix it. He's bigger in the stand-up world right now.
He's not bigger standing up.
Damn,
Shane. I know.
You won't let it happen. Philly, he wouldn't have been as big as
you. Shout out to Kevin Hart.
We love you,
we love him.
But the check comes from here.
Okay. Today's closing remark is another level of inspiration I've been trying to impart this year. I want to talk to you about one of the keys to success. I want you to listen to this carefully because this can apply to a lot of people because a lot of people get stuck. A lot of people are stuck in their plan because they've committed themselves to the plan. And the plan has to work no matter what. So I'm going to keep working the plan. I want to remind you of something, though, that as life changes, plans change. I'm not saying that the goal has to change, but I am saying that the plan to get to the goal has variations to it. Look, you still may have the goal of becoming rich or famous, or you becoming successful or owning the business or owning a company or moving up the corporate ladder or completing your education or getting the degree or finding a relationship or getting a family and getting your family back in order. Whatever your goal is, the goal can be the same. The plan has to have variables to it because life moves. You know, the thing about nature is, I've noticed one thing in nature. There are no straight lines in nature. There are no, the most beautiful things I've ever seen are in nature. But I don't recall seeing any straight lines in nature. All rivers bend and turn. All mountains elevate with curves and plateaus. Even the world is on a curvature. Everything, every wave pattern is different. Every beach is different. There is no smooth land. It all has slight variables in it. There are no straight lines in nature. But that's what makes it beautiful. The variations, the movement of the earth and of nature and of water and of land and of air, of sea, of mountains, of desert terrain. It's all moving. It changes. It remains beautiful. The desert is the desert, but it changes. So one of the keys to success is reinvention. Never be afraid to reinvent yourself. Reinvention is one of the keys to success. I know too many people who are stuck on the route they've chosen to take and will not deviate because they just so hell-bent and determined on doing it this one set way. Well, that's good. That's great determination to have, but you need to take that determination and apply it to reinvention because you can reinvent yourself with the same amount of determination, still get to where you're going, just take a different route.
never be afraid to reinvent yourself. I've done it in my career time and time and time again. I'm always looking for the variables in my life. When I'm trying to get it one way and I don't see that it's happening and I've done everything I can do, maybe it's time to start looking at another way to take it. Because I got to keep telling you, man, the definition of insanity is to keep doing the exact same thing and expecting a different result. That's insane. You cannot keep doing it the same way and expect a different result. You just can't. Reinvention is one of the keys to success. Open your mind and your heart to another route and another way. Once again, you don't have to change the goal. You don't have to change the objective, but you may have to change the route. You may have to change the course of action. It's called reinvention, y'all. Reinvention is the key to success. All right? Y'all have a good one, man. Hope you enjoyed that. Hope that helped somebody out there today. My closing remarks. Y'all have a great one.
Thank you. Yeah.
You like that one? You
gotta
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit SteveHarvey.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.